everybody. It feels good to be in church, doesn't it? Doesn't it, though? It's so good to see you all. I've missed you so much. It's been tough speaking to a computer screen or a little... But hello, everybody. I'm glad you're here. I'm not dissing you. I'm glad you're with us today. And welcome to a Jesus community this morning. Thank you for coming with your hearts this morning. Thank you for bringing a desire to learn and to grow. Thank you for your journey and your spiritual journey of following, meeting, and knowing and following Jesus. I'm going to ask you this morning to stand with me as we read God's living word. And we're going to be reading from Moses and Deuteronomy as well from Jesus' disciple, John. And I really have treasured this. Deuteronomy 30, I've treasured these words and I've meditated on this. There's so much in here. Listen to this. God speaking through Moses. This day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. 1 John 4:8-10, a jewel of the New Testament. Whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Father, we thank You this morning for Your presence in our lives. And Lord, we thank You this morning for Your voice in our lives. We thank You this morning for the weight of Your love that's upon our lives. Lord, we thank You this morning for who You are and what You are. We thank You that You communicate to us. And Lord, we as Your people today ask that You would speak into our hearts this morning, collectively as a Jesus community and individually as Your children. We ask, Lord, that You would touch our eyes this morning, that we can see spiritual truth. And Lord, that You would touch our ears, that we could hear Your voice today. And Lord, we pray that this would happen for the glory of Your will and the glory of Your kingdom. And we ask this in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who loves God would say, amen. And again, just say hi to everybody. Wave at everyone going through. It's good to be here. It's good to see you. Hey, question. Did any of you experience God last week? Did anybody, when you reflect on your week last week, did you have a moment last week when you experienced God as you were reading His Word? As you were doing quiet times, hopefully? You've been experiencing God as you've been doing experiencing God. Did you experience God last week? Maybe as you were sharing and interacting in community, maybe in your small group, in your growth group, as people were sharing things that are going on in their life and how God has spoken to them, that all of a sudden you experience God just hearing their testimony. Has this happened to you? This last week, so, you know, You probably have figured it out by now that we as a church are using a certain tool written by Blackaby called Experiencing God. And this is a wonderful devotion. It's about 20-minute devotional every day, 5 days a week. There's scripture memorization. And it's beautifully laid out. It takes us on a journey, and it just leads us in a thought. And our goal is to experience God. It's a tool used to help us all grow a bit deeper. Our desire between now, through the elections and into Christmas, is to experience God. Our desire is to get as close as we possibly can to Jesus. Do I hear an amen? This last week, I was speaking with a city official in the city of Irvine. I did our prayer for our city council on Tuesday, and an invocation prayer, and I was praying for them in the city council. And I was talking with a city official this week, and the city official asked, "Pastor Frank, this world we're living in is crazy." And I nodded my head. "Is the things that we're seeing going on in the world written in the Bible?" This was the question asked by a city official. I directed him. I said, "Go listen to a series we did over the summer called Wake Up Call or Last Call." See, if Jesus comes back this Thursday, none of us in here have the right to say you didn't give us enough warning. Okay? I wish you would have given us a sign. I wish you would have told us a bit more detail about your second coming. Hey, friends. This is a time for us to get as close to Jesus as we possibly can, to be a Mary, not a Martha, to get in close and just hang out with Jesus. Because no matter what's going on and what's about to happen and has been happening, I've noticed that the closer I get to the one who walks on water and the one who raises the dead, the one who heals the lame and the sick, the one who died on a cross, arose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and I know he's coming back again, the more I hang out with him, I feel better. Don't you? And actually, the cool thing is, he calls you to come close to him. He wants you to draw near to him. If you're not near to him, it's not his fault. The purpose of this is just a tool to get as close as we can to Jesus, to become a Mary. And so I hope that you are doing this. It's an all-church ride. Our children are doing it. Our youth are doing it. And by the way, it's not too late to jump on. We actually got books in the back. So if you haven't got this yet, man, just we've got some books in the back. Grab those and start tomorrow on Unit 3. And if you're not in a small group, if you're not in a growth group and you want to be in one, join ours. Pastor Vince and I are running one on Friday nights, and you can Zoom right in, and we'll get you that number. And it was so cool last week. I got to say, we've done this now 2 weeks in a row. On Friday night, once again, tears, as people were sharing Jesus and how they were connecting with Jesus and how God speaks to them. And as people sharing in a Zoom and just talking about the Lord and how they're experiencing God, and pretty soon all of us just have a lump in our throat as we're hearing God leap out of the pages of the Bible and into people's lives. That's our Jesus. It's our Jesus. So last week, the topic was a God-centered living or self-centered living. And if you want to experience God, you need to put God at the center of your life. The more you put Jesus at the center of your life, the more you're going to experience God in your life. And that was the teachings of last week. Tomorrow, the lesson begins with how God pursues a love relationship. And the best thing I've got for you is I just want to read this, because this is what awaits you tomorrow as you begin this next unit. And I'm just going to read this. Henry Blackaby says, "When one of my children could not get his own way, he used to say, 'You don't love me.' Was that true? No, my love had not changed. At that moment, however, my love was expressing itself differently than he wanted it to. When our daughter Carrie was 16, the doctor told us she advanced case of cancer. We had to take her through chemotherapy and radiation. We suffered along with Carrie as we watched her experience the severe sickness that accompanies the treatments. Some people face such an experience by blaming God and questioning why He doesn't love them anymore. If this is happening to me, then God doesn't love me anymore. Carrie's cancer treatments could have been a devastating experience for us. Did God still love us? Yes. Had His love changed? No. He still cared for us with an infinite love. When you face circumstances like this, you can ask God to explain what is happening. We did that. We asked Him what we should do. Raised all those questions. But I never said, Lord, I guess You don't love me anymore. Long before this experience with Carrie, I had made a determination. No matter what my circumstance, I would never look at my situation except against the backdrop of the cross. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forever convinced me that He loved me. For this reason, during Carrie's illness, I could go before the Heavenly Father and see behind my daughter the cross of Jesus. I said, Father, don't ever let me look at my life and question Your love for me. For Your love for me was settled on the cross. And that has never changed and will never change. Our love relationship with the Heavenly Father sustained us through an extremely difficult time. No matter what your circumstances are, God's love never changes. The cross, the death of Jesus Christ, and His resurrection are God's final, total, and complete expressions that He loves you. Never allow your heart to question God's love. Settle it on the front end of your desire to know Him and experience Him. He loves you. He created you for a love relationship. And He's been pursuing you in that love relationship. Every encounter He has with you is an expression of His love for you. God would cease to be God if He expressed Himself in any other way than perfect love. That's not bad. I appreciate His spiritual journey of coming to that place and writing it, don't you? This is what awaits you tomorrow. This is the first page of what awaits you tomorrow. If you desire to experience God in your life, there's something very important that you need to know about the nature of God. If you desire to experience God, not just intellectually, but to experience God, there's something very important that we all need to know about God, about the very nature of His being. And it's found in 1 John 4:8. It says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What is God? He is love. See, this is what is so unique to Christianity and different than any other religion. Our Creator's personal love for us. Islam, the religions of the East, the idea that the Creator has a personal love for them is a foreign concept. But the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, reveals through the Scriptures that He just doesn't have love for us, but that He is love. It's an attribute of God. Just like God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. It's a part of His being. God is love. God, theologians, as they study this, they call this omnibenevolence. Just like God is all-powerful, omnipotent, or God is omniscient, He's all-knowing. God is holy, these attributes of God that always goes with God. Wherever God goes, this attribute of His being goes with Him, and it's called love. God is love. God just doesn't have love. He is love. See, if you want to experience God, then you need to understand this attribute about God. Because if we don't, we're never going to experience the relationship with God that God desires to have with Him. The relationship that you and I have been created for. A love relationship. The title this week is called God Pursues a Love Relationship with you. This was a relationship that you were created for and that I was created for. Now, I have to tell you something. For me as a seeker, for me that had came as a skeptic to follow to accepting Jesus, for me on my spiritual journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus, I came as a skeptic. And I have to tell you, as I began pondering and meditating on this attribute of God, it helped me personally to understand the deeper questions of my existence, of our existence. It helped me to understand the questions of why. Think about it. God is love. If you think with me this morning, when you begin to ponder on this, that God is love, that God is a being of love and has personal love for you, if you journey down this path and think on this, you will begin to find answers to the questions of why. Like, why does bad things happen on planet Earth? Why does bad things happen in the world? And I need to say this right now. I'm sorry. Forgive me if I get a little philosophical with you this morning. But I think it will help all of us in trying to understand the love of God, this attribute of God, to understand the powerful expression that God has for us on planet Earth, in which we now live. And I'm going to ask you to take notes with me this morning. And I want you to think with me. And we have notes there. You can fill these out and just journey with me for a moment, okay? There's God. In the beginning, think about this. God had four possibilities as the creator of the known universe. There He is. There's God, the eternal one. God is a creator. God had four possibilities as the creator of the known universe. Think with me. What was God's possibilities? Number one, God could have created nothing at all. Is that an option to God that's a creator? Answer, totally. God doesn't need to create something to prove He can create. God could have said, I don't want to create. An artist can be an artist and not create a painting. They don't have to God didn't have to prove anything. God could have created nothing at all. That's an option to God. Option number two, God could have created a world where there was no such thing as good or evil. Imagine if planet Earth, God creates an amoral world of plants and trees and clouds and sky. And there it is. Was that an option for God? Answer? Of course. Or how about this one? God could have created a world where living moral beings... Everybody wave. God could have created a world where living moral beings could have only chosen good. There was no option for evil. You all would be robots. This is what you will do. Many people ask, why didn't God do that? Three options. God had a fourth option. God could have created a world like this one that we're living in today, where moral free beings exist and have, listen, the freedom to choose between good and evil. God could have chosen to build the world that we're living in today, where moral free beings exist and have the freedom to choose between good and evil. See, in the first three options, all of God's attributes would have existed and flourished except one. Love. Love. Only in the fourth option, people, would God's attribute of love have the possibility to flourish and to be expressed. Expressed how? How about expressed in God's love toward us? Listen. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Hosea 11:4. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Isn't that a beautiful word picture? God is not saying this to plants and to trees on planet Earth, but to very special beings, moral beings, made in His image, with the ability of thought and the ability of reason and the ability of choice, able to respond to God's love toward them. See, in the first three options, all of God's attributes would have existed and flourished except one, love. With God's love toward us, and listen, with the possibility to be responded to from beings made in His image. Everybody wave. Is anybody in here made in His image? What is it about you that's made in the image of God? You are a moral, free being with the ability of thought and reason and choice. God is a moral, free being. God is one with the ability of thought and reason and choice. You made in His image, and this is a theologian. What does that mean to be made in the image of God? We figured it out to an extent. See, a dog is not a moral, free being with the ability. It's an animal. You are unique, human being, son of Adam and daughter of Eve. You are special on this planet. Sunsets don't marvel at you, but you marvel at a sunset. You see it, and you're a moral, free being with the ability to think, to reason, and you have choice. We have been given the ability to respond to love. We have been given the ability to respond to love. We have the possibility to respond because we are made that way. What does God want from you the most? I asked this question. I remember as a young man reading the New Testament for the first time, asking questions about Jesus, coming to a place of saying, the prophecies of the Bible, the miracle of the Bible, I was shocked and stunned. I'm like, if there's a God, only God would be able to predict things before they come to play and come to pass. Isaiah 53, Psalm 20. I mean, and I remember one day going, if God exists, this has to be the God. And as soon as I leaped into that possibility, the first thing I asked was, what does this God want from me? I didn't have to look too far before I figured out what He wants from me. People ask Jesus, what is the number one commandment? It was on Tuesday when they were trying to trap Him. The Tuesday before His death, they came to the rabbi from Nazareth, the one who walks on water, the miracle man from Galilee, and they asked Him, what does God want from us more than anything else? Mark 12, and one of the teachers of the law came, heard them debating, because Jesus had just whooped them in an intellectual debate. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he looked over at Jesus and he had a question for Him. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, Jesus answered, is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. There's a very special place on the Sea of Galilee where after Jesus had arisen from the dead and He was talking with Peter, and He took Peter for a walk on a beach. And the questions that Jesus had for Peter was, Peter, do you love me? Not, do you believe in me? Do you love me? Different question. And actually, when we go to Israel, we tell the story about Jesus in John 21 and the setting of it. And then the eternal question. It's the question. Peter, do you love me? God asks you this morning, do you love me? Not do you believe in me. Do you love me? It's the eternal question. And we have people walk on the beach. And why don't you respond to God? Why don't you go for a walk with Jesus this morning? And as He asks you these questions, why don't you think of these through with Him? Do you love God back? Do you respond to God's love for you? Take a note with me this morning, note number 5, and tell me if this is not true. The supreme ethic that God has given to us on this earth is compassion. It's love. The supreme ethic that God gives us on this earth is love. Am I wrong? The night before Jesus dies, they're in the upper room, and Jesus says these words in John 13, 34 and 35. Here comes Jesus. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. He goes on in the night, John 15, 12 through 14. My commandment is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus said this the night before He went to the cross. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. And what is God commanding them to do? To love. John 15, 17. This is my command. Love each other. The supreme ethic that God has given to us on earth is love. Am I wrong? 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another. Why? For love comes from God. God expresses love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's the supreme ethic that God has given to us on earth. Love. Love of God and love for one another. Love of God that goes vertical and horizontal. As we love God, we learn to love one another. As PJ said so beautifully, Jesus is the one that teaches him how to love his wife. Love does not define God, but God defines what love is. And this is the essence of Christianity. It is not a religion, but a loving relationship between the Creator and the creation, made in His image. And then this overflows in how we treat other people made in His image. And isn't this, think with me, isn't this what the world needs right now? Oh my gosh. You know the world needs you more than ever, disciples of Jesus Christ. The world needs you now more than ever to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What a mess. You know why it's a mess? Because God created the fourth option. Here's the problem. Think with me. See, the supreme ethic that God has on this earth is love, and it's only made possible in the fourth option. Why? And here it comes. Note number 6. Freedom is indispensable to love. Freedom is indispensable to love. You can never have love without the freedom of the will. If you're if you're compelled by some form of a mechanical universe, there is no love. You might have compliance, like in option three, but there would never be love because you're never choosing. Love is a choice made in the freedom of the will. So you cannot have love without the freedom of the will. But here is the twist. Freedom of the will also provides an atmosphere of evil. To choose not to love. To choose the opposite of love. To choose to hate. To choose to be selfish. To choose to steal. I choose to kill. See, the world that we live in today, the message is because humans have made choices. And the reason it's going to continue to be a mess is because humans continue to make choices. And the biggest choice we made is when we screwed up and we rejected God. The freedom of choice. God is love. God expresses love, and He created a world where this supreme ethic can flourish in the world we live in today. But there's a twist, because if I can reject all that is good and righteous and holy, that's the epicenter of evil. See, this world is a special world that God created with you in it. You made in His image. You in this world, though you are fallen in sin, you still have the ability, the desire, the opportunity to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. If you wish. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Or to not. To seek Him or don't. It's your choice. See, God has given you this freedom of choice in this world that we live in today. Listen again. What did God have to say so long ago through Moses to moral free beings? Though fallen, still I have the opportunity. Listen, this day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life or death, blessings. Anyone want blessings? And curses. Anyone want curses from the Almighty Creator? Listen to God's plea. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. And that you choose, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen. Listen to His voice. And hold fast to Him. For the Lord, your Creator, FYI, is your life. Do you hear the plea from God through Moses? Choose. God has manifested Himself to them. Has God manifested Himself to you? God had shown them His love and His provision. Has God shown you His love and His provision? Will they respond to God? Read the old. Will you respond to God? Will you? That's the eternal question. Will you reject God? Never mind. To reject all that is good and light and love, to reject this is evil. It's the epicenter of evil. To reject God is why we have all the problems that we have in our lives, in our world, here he is. God. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth, and I'm the life. To who? To you. See, we in the fourth option live in a world of good and evil, of choice. And here it is, people. There's a sovereign purpose in all of this. God knows what He's doing in option four. His ways are higher than ours. He's after something. He's going with something. God today is not out of control. God today is not up in heaven going, oh my goodness, look what's happening. I don't know what to do. That's not God. There's a sovereign purpose in all of this, in the creation that you and I are walking and living in today. This is a love story between God and His creation. How has God shown His love toward you? Think with me. Look at this verse. I love this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Do I hear an amen to that? But to put their hope in God. Listen. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I want you to understand that God shows you His love every day. Even if you don't see it, God shows His love for you every day. See, everything you enjoy on earth today is a gift of God's love. Have you ever thought about that? Everything you see, the sunset that goes down behind Catalina today, go watch it. Everything you see is a gift of God's love to you. The eyes that you have is a gift of God's love to you. To enjoy His creation that He made. Anyone seen the Grand Canyon lately? Oh my gosh. Right? I was at the beach last week, and these dolphins just came surfing right along the rest, and there they are. Everybody's coming out trying to get packed. There they go. It was beautiful, the beautiful blue water. And there goes these dolphins. It was a beautiful day. Have you noticed? I don't know if you've realized this or not, but you live in Southern California. There's a thing not too far from here called the Pacific Ocean. It's gorgeous. Everything you enjoy in this world is a gift of God's love to you. Everything you see, everything you hear. You hear the sound of a little baby. You hear rain coming down in the early morning, and you listen to that peaceful. I love the sound of rain when it's quiet outside, don't you? I just love it. Everything you hear is a gift of God's love to you. Everything you touch, when the touch of a little baby's foot, there's nothing softer on planet Earth when you touch that little baby's foot. And the marvel of that. Everything you enjoy, everything you touch, that's God's gift, God's loving gift to you. It's a gift of God's love. Everything you taste, with your tongue, like a double-double with grilled onions. Do you know how horrible it would be if we had no taste? Wouldn't that be terrible? To have zero taste? I know a few people that got COVID and they lost their ability to taste. When they first realized that there's something's wrong with this chicken, it doesn't taste very good. Wait a minute, this chocolate, everything we bought is terrible. It's you. They can't smell, they can't taste. How horrible would it be if you're already thinking about lunch, aren't you? That first bite is glorious, isn't it? And then there's this thing called the law of diminishing. Everything that you enjoy, everything you taste, do you know who gives you the ability to enjoy is God? And He gives it to you. Why? Because He hates you? Because He loves you. Everything you enjoy on earth is made possible by your Creator. Do you love Him yet? Do you love Him? See, every breath that you breathe, every beat of your heart is a gift from your Creator. See, your physical life is a gift. Abundant life that Jesus gives to you as you follow Him is a gift. Eternal life that Jesus purchases for you is a gift. See, this book is a love story between God and mankind. God loving mankind and mankind blowing it in Genesis 3. Mankind, our ancestors, didn't respond to God's love very well. Didn't trust God very well. They betrayed His love. They rejected the Creator. And we as a species has been broken ever since the fall of mankind. But God responds in love to us with a plan of redemption and forgiveness. See, when you read this, God keeps coming. God speaks through Abraham and says, through your seed, one will come through all the nations of the world will be blessed. You read the last book of the Bible in Revelation, and the angelic beings are singing of this special one that God brings to the earth. John 4, 8 through 10, a gold nugget in the New Testament. There's a lot said right here. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God, He's love. This is how God shows His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, this is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as atoning a sacrifice for our sins. We are forgiven through His Son. We are given life through His Son. Do you realize? Do I realize that the love that God focuses on you today, on me today, is an everlasting love? How long is everlasting? It's a long time. Do you realize that God's love for you is everlasting? Here's a note. Last one. Take notes. This is actually taken out of the book. See if you can find it this week. To be loved by God is the highest relationship. To be loved by God is the highest relationship. The greatest achievement and the noblest position in life. To be loved by God is the highest relationship. Is that true? The greatest achievement. How has God shown us that when you look at the cross, it's an amazing achievement. And the most noblest position in life, to be known as one who's loved by God. You know, the Apostle John, when he writes his book, the Apostle John doesn't even say his name. He just says, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. I who write these things to you is the one whom Jesus loved. His whole identity, his whole being was wrapped up into, I'm a person who's loved by God. And it becomes his defining identity. This is who I am. This is who he took to heaven. Who are you? You don't even need to know my name. I'm just the disciple whom Jesus loved. He gets it, doesn't he? Do we realize that the love that God has for us is everlasting, is absolutely incredible, is amazing? On my spiritual journey, I'm still on mine, I must say, I'm not done being a disciple, though I've been to Talbot Theological Seminary, and I am learning all the time. The great rabbi's teaching me every day. I remember along my journey one day, I looked at the Bible, and I'm trying to figure out God and the why. Why? Lord, why? And I looked at this thing, and I said, what does God have at the end of the book that he doesn't have at the beginning? Have you ever asked that question? What's his objective? And it's a complex question. I remember, I go, God, what do you have at the end, the book of Revelation, that you didn't have in the beginning with Genesis? I think I figured out a part of the answer. What God has at the end when it's all said and done is what? When it's all done and it's over, the book of Revelation. What does God have at the end? Do you know what he has? He has beings, moral free beings with the ability of thought, reason, and choice made in his image who are with him because they love him and they want to be with him. He has angels, which are also moral free beings with the ability of thought, reason, and choice made in the image of God. It says that a third of them rebelled, but two-thirds didn't. But they had a choice. Leave me or don't. It's choice. He has angelic beings that are there because they love him. And he has children of Eve and of Adam. Human beings that he placed on this thing called planet Earth in the universe that you and I live in today. The fourth option. What does God have at the end that he didn't have at the beginning? He has human beings that are with him because they want to be. I love you. I choose to. In my freedom of my will, I love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I actually love you. Thank you that your love for me is constant. What will I do with your love? See, how do we respond to God's love for us today? How do you respond to God's love for you today? How have you in the past responded to God's love for you? How have you been responding to His love for you lately? How do you plan on responding to God's love for you today, tomorrow, next week, and after that? Deuteronomy 30 is a great text. This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose. Choose. But I hope you choose life so that you and your children may live. I pray that you would choose to love God back, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you would choose to listen to God and center your life on Him and not yourself, sermon of last week. That you would choose to listen to God and to hold fast to Him, to hold tight to Him. But choose. God blesses His people. God has blessed you. Do you see it? Do you understand today how God has blessed you? make the priority of your life to love God with all your heart. Make the priority of your life to love Him back. See, here's the deal. If you want to experience God, you need to understand something very important about God, about His being, about who He is, an attribute of God. If you want to experience God, there's something radically important you need to understand about the Creator. He is love. He is love. And He has shown you His love. You are the object of His love. For God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to experience God, there's something very important you need to know about God. He's not some Shylock being up in heaven demanding His pound of flesh. This God is a divine being, and one of His attributes is love. And you are the object of His love. And He loves you. He has never loved you more than He loves you today. Whenever God does anything, He always operates within this attribute of His love. If you want to experience God, you need to know this. And you need to understand that He wants something back. God pursues a love relationship with you. That's what you'll be reading about this week. When you get to heaven and you look and behold the resurrected one sitting there, it's you and Him. It's a relationship. And no one else will be standing with you. It's just you and Him, kid. It's between, this is all about between you and God. But you got to know this. This is what you'll be studying this week. Welcome to the journey. Hear the heart of God this week. How's that? Is that good? Did I just lie to you? Nope. This is heavenly truth, friends. This is God. You want to hear? This is it. The worship team is going to come up. And they're going to sing a very good theological song called Behold. It's a good song. The moment I heard this song, I said, that, my professors at Talbot Theological would love this song. It speaks of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it speaks of God's love. Behold the Father's love. All through this song, the object of God's love is you. Father, I pray today for my brothers and my sisters. I thank You for the journey that they're on today, Lord God Almighty. I can feel them thinking this morning, Lord. I can feel them. I sense them. God, we recognize that You are love. And You created a world where love, this attribute of Your love, can be expressed. God, we recognize that love, in order to love someone, is a freedom of the will. A freedom of choice. Do we love? What do we love? Why do we love? What reasons do we love? God, when we think about You, why should we love You, Lord? Why? Creator of the earth, are You up in heaven? Did You just create us to be down here and suffer and laugh at us? No. For You walked in our suffering and You've entered our world. And You are a God who redeems. And You're a God who calls. You're a God who sees and a God who hears. You're a God that's at work in our lives. Would You teach us, Lord, how much You love us? Jesus, would You help us to understand Your love for us? That You're jealous for us. That's awesome. I pray that we would feel love today. I pray that our feelings would reflect what is true. Help us, Lord, on this journey. In the name of Jesus Christ.